So hello, everybody. Welcome to the first session of TechEd. My name is Scott Kate. This is my friend Dustin.
Hi.
So first thing is, there's a lot of choices at TechEd, and we like to say thank you for choosing ours. And our job is to not waste your time and to give you the most that we can give you in 75 minutes. So if we look at the first slide in the presentation is kind of this question of why are you here? And I want to call out the title of the talk is Visual Studio Tips and Tricks, not Visual Studio 2012 Tips and Tricks. The reason we do that is, Visual Studio 2012 is new. Both of us are actually using that IDE. But a lot of the tips and tricks that we talk about go all the way back to Visual Studio 2005. They're just things that are not very well known, but they're big productivity tips. So we will call out in the presentations which version of Visual Studio that originated in. And then, of course, there is definitely some new stuff in Visual Studio 2012, and we'll be covering those as well. So with that, we'll talk just a little bit about what we call the lay of the land.
Okay, so the way this is going to go very quickly. We believe very strongly that productivity in Visual Studio is all about using the keyboard. So not having to, if I have to reach over and grab the mouse, I feel that my productivity has somehow been hampered. Okay, so I want to try and stick to the keyboard, learn as many keyboard shortcuts as I can to do my work. So like I said, we'll go fast, but the shortcuts are in the slides. Our plan is the way we're going to do this, we're going to do a demo, a chunk of functionality in some area, and then we'll come back to the slide, and you'll see the shortcuts. The slides will be available along with the recordings of the talks after as they get up online on the TechEd Europe site. Also, I do want to mention that we're going to be using Visual Studio 2012 RC. As Scott said, many of these are available. Most of the shortcuts actually are available all the way back to Visual Studio 2005. And so in the slides, you'll see this little legend here telling you what version of Visual Studio it's available in. And some of this, I want to point out, the very, very bottom of this legend, some of this is also available in Visual Studio 2012, but there are early looks of the functionality in Visual Studio 2010 when you install the productivity power tools from Microsoft through the extension manager. Okay, so that very last one to point out is that some of this you can add an extension to use in VS 2010. And then the last important point is that we are using the Visual C# key binding. So when Visual Studio starts up, we've chosen Visual C# as our key binding set. If you choose a different set of key bindings, so some of these shortcuts may change for you if you don't use that set.
So does that mean we're only going to show C# tips?
Absolutely not. Many of these tips work across languages, so Visual Basic, C#, C++, F#, pick your flavor. Most of these shortcuts, or many of these shortcuts, will work in languages. We'll try and call out some specific ones where there might be some differences. So,
just a quick show of hands, how many of you are C# developers on a regular basis? So majority. What about Visual Basic? Even though there are fewer of you, we have tips for you specifically. There's actually some new stuff in VS 2012 on the Visual Basic IDE, and Dustin will be able to call those out. What about C++? Okay, so we've got a good handful of you as well, and again, we'll try to point those out. So jumping straight into demos, I have the Orchard CMS project loaded, and what I wanted to do here is just have a lot of source code. And so I've downloaded this open source project, and this is where I'm going to be doing most of my demos. And I want to particularly call out this guy right here on the start page. So the start page is what you see every time Visual Studio opens. If you already have Visual Studio open, you can always bring it back up from that view menu. Most of the items on this screen are pretty obvious, but I just wanted to point out something simple with the ability to pin and unpin projects. If you're in a consulting environment where you're going from one client to another client, there's also the ability to right-click and remove from list. In Visual Studio's past, that was pretty difficult. You'd have to actually go in and do a registry editor trick. Some of you may even have downloaded some utilities that let us clean up that MRU or the most recently used list. But once you have something pinned, then naturally what that means is that it will stay there. It won't fall off the list. And while I'm in this mode and talking about pinning projects, I want to focus a little bit on Windows 7 and Windows 8 features. So all of you know that Alt-Tab lets you switch between applications, and you even have this fancier version of that with Windows Tab that lets you switch between applications. But using that window key will also let you do more things with keyboard launching or application launching. So if you notice in my start menu down here, we've got Visual Studio as the third position. If you have more than one version of Visual Studio open, using the Windows key and the number 3 will cycle between that app. So that's essentially clicking your start menu. Now if you do a Windows Alt 3, watch this. So from the keyboard, I can get that pop-up menu. And now with my arrow keys, I can open an application. So I'm going to go ahead and do that and just open a second version of Visual Studio. Now if I use my Windows 3 key, you'll see that it actually toggles between only Visual Studio. So this is kind of like Alt-Tab, but just my Visual Studio instances. Is that cool? You guys like that? So Windows Alt 3 will bring up that pop-up menu, and if you use the Shift key, without prompting you, it will open a new instance. So if I do Windows Shift 3, it will just ask me if I want to open something new. So again, that's not unique to Visual Studio. That is simply a Windows feature that I don't see very many people using. And typically as developers, we have a lot of stuff open throughout the day. So now if I have Windows 3 toggling through just the different versions of Windows Visual Studio. You can also launch this in admin mode if you do Shift Control. So Windows Shift Control 3 will launch that application in admin mode. If you're opening Notepad because you need to do something with a registry key or something that requires administrative access, maybe you have a command prompt down there, you can use the Control Shift and that'll bring you back. So again, all of this information is up and is available on the slide deck. Oh, so let's get back to...
We're there.
Thanks. So that's all up, and it's on the slide again, showing you with the different versions of Visual Studio that was available, so you can always reference back to that. So I'll switch over to you.
Yep. All right, so this is Visual Studio 2012. Show of hands, how many people have downloaded and used Visual Studio 2012 at this point? Awesome, that's great to see. I've been using it for my day-to-day development for a while now, just because I find it's faster, it's more reliable. I'm really, really liking using it. But as part of Visual Studio 2012, we've done a lot of work in what we call kind of our simplification of the IDE. Visual Studio has gotten, I would say, a bit cumbersome to use. Lots of commands, lots of toolbars, lots of buttons in prior releases. And we took a hard look at that in this release and decided to try and kind of to narrow the scope of what you see, the commands that are available to you immediately, to the ones that people are actually using. So when you install Visual Studio and it brings up that, hey, do you want to join the customer experience program, that gives us some information about how Visual Studio is used in your machine, and we can mine that data. And we have mined that data, and we understand, you know, essentially what keyboard, like what commands are getting used most. And so, for example, if you look at the toolbar, which spreads all the way across the screen on Visual Studio 2010, but now just a few commands, the simple ones that you want to use. All the way to the left, we've moved the navigation buttons that go back and forth. People have said for years, they're like, yeah, I know that's there, I just can never find it, right? So we put it on the left where it belongs, like a web browser. Then also the new buttons, save and F5, undo, and that's pretty much it. That's what we've got on the toolbars. Now also as part of And we also, well, also with the toolbars, we wanted to make sure that we only had one, okay, as opposed to having multiple stacks of toolbars. We don't want to, we want to just try and reduce that vertical space up there so you get more code editor, okay, and you can do more coding. The other piece of Visual Studio 2012 is, of course, the Visual Refresh, which has gotten some feedback over time here. RC is definitely taking another look at that and really tried to bring things to a place that feels like it's getting to a place of a happy medium. However, there are still the all caps menus up there, right? I know some people have strong feelings about these. So if you haven't heard, we have committed to doing something about this by RTM. I know we're going to add an option, is my understanding. I don't know exactly what that's going to look like. However, there is a registry key that can be flipped if this really bothers you, and there's an extension available from the extension manager. So if you go to Tools, Extensions, and Updates inside of Visual Studio 2012, there is an extension that will remove all caps. I think you did a search for all caps, and you'll find it.
Does that really affect anybody? Does anybody care? Show of hands. So, okay, like 5%.
Yeah, but the 5% that raised their hands were like waving them erratically.
They're like, we
erratically,
really
right?
don't
so
like that.
It really bothers some people, and then when we get that, and we hear you. So, the last piece I want to talk about with the UI refresh is something that we've wanted to do for a long time, and we've been asked to do for a long time, and that is to introduce a dark theme. So if I go to the Environment General tab, the very first options page in the options dialog, I can now switch to a new theme, and as soon as it's done, now I have Visual Studio Dark. Okay, and so this has been something that people have asked for a long time. We've also added a dark editor theme as well, so that for those of you that really associate yourself, when you look at yourself in the mirror in the morning, you think, you know what, I'm more of a Darth Vader kind of guy than a Luke Skywalker kind of guy, this is for you. All right, let's flip back to slides. So there's not really any keyboard shortcuts for part of this, but I want to mention the light and dark themes for those of you that want to see this, want to use that to kind of associate yourself with a Sith Lord. These are all new for 2012, but that's sort of our simplification piece for Visual Studio. All right, let's go over to Scott.
Awesome. So let's look at something we call window and document management. One thing that Dustin said earlier is that I think typically as developers, we are keyboard prone, keyboard over mouse. And if you've ever used VI, then you can attest to that, right? So I like to use keyboards anytime I can. And so I want to just kind of throw out a couple of random keyboard shortcuts. Some things you can only do with the mouse. If you're dragging a window to a certain location, that has to be done. Actually, there are ways to do that with the keyboard, but it's too painful. That gets away from saving time, right? But one thing that I like to use here is Alt F6, something that a lot of people don't know about. If you notice where the blue title is toggling, I'm actually just jumping through all of the windows that are open right now. And so if for some reason you find yourself without a mouse and you need to get to a point, typically what you can do, almost anything from the view menu, which is easy to do from the keyboard, or if you notice something's open, you can do Alt F6 and Alt Shift F6, which of course does the same navigation but runs in backwards.
To be clear, I work on Visual Studio. I didn't know that shortcut existed, right? I'm really happy that Scott has actually shown me that shortcut.
You may or may not use that. That's a little more obscure, but it is definitely there. So let's talk about multi-monitor support. We've definitely had multi-monitor support for a while, and this is something that you guys have seen where you can take a tab and then tear it off, and then you get these screen adorners. But what happens if you actually want to put that window right here? Have you ever needed to do that? And these things, instead of helping you, are actually in the way? So here's the trick. If you hold the control key down, those things actually go away. And now you can put that wherever you want. Good? Bad? Yes? No? All right. Another thing that you can do is double-click the title bar. And then you think, well, now that this is a proper first-class window, it's going to actually maximize. But again, using the control key, if you control double click, it puts it back to where it originally came from. So you can tear it off, then you can control double click to put it back. And that works everywhere. So
yeah.
Even if I tear off a panel here, and in Visual Studio 2012, these are first class windows, full windows. So now my windows left, right, center, all of these work for multi-monitor support. One step further in Visual Studio 2012, you can actually now dock windows in torn off windows. It used to be that you could just pull something off and then that was kind of its own little island and you could move it to your second monitor. Now I can do something like jump over to Solution Explorer. I can tear that off, and then using Alt-Tab, I can jump over here and I can actually dock it to my second window here. So let's just move this to the left. And now you can see you have all of your docking flexibility. Also new in Visual Studio 2012 is the ability to open a second Solution Explorer. So if you right-click at a particular place, so here you can see I'm on Modules, I can now set a new Solution Explorer view. Now, this has a keyboard binding of Control-Alt-Shift-L. If you remember, the keyboard binding for Solution Explorer is Control-Alt-L. How many of you knew that already? Control-Alt-L from the keyboard, no matter where you're at, will give you focus to the Solution Explorer. So now you can actually have two versions of the Solution Explorer, one in your main window, one in your second window. And this is great for, obviously, when you're in multi-monitor, or some of you may have three monitors. You have your main Visual Studio here, and by the time you've shifted focus over, now you can actually have your second instance of that Visual Studio Explorer. So again, using that same tip, if I Control-click, that will pop that item out. Control-click again will bring it back. And now I have this kind of orphaned Solution Explorer, which I don't need, so I can simply close that and bring it back. Speaking of pinned items, which we talked about a little bit as a theme from my first session, of course you can pin the projects. We learned that. We also now have pinned items in your document well. So if I'm always working with the start page, I can pin it, and then it will stay there, and no matter how many other files I open, those will stay pinned and docked to the left. Of course, you can unpin and close them as well. Now, if you're living in Visual Studio, how many of you are in Visual Studio more than 6 hours a day? Okay, everybody. So you're in the right place. You're like me, and you're using Visual Studio, and before you know it, you have dozens or multiple dozens or hundreds of different files open, and most of them were not opened by you. They were opened by maybe a debugger or an F12 go to definition or some navigation that you did, not necessarily to edit source code, but just to look. So we've got a new feature in Visual Studio, and as I single-clicked this permissions.cs file, you'll notice that it showed up over here on the right-hand side of the screen. That's called Document Preview. And watch what happens now if I click Web Config. Single click. It shows up on the screen for me to read, and this is a full editable window. I can scroll up and down. I can set focus in that preview. And as soon as I edit the file by, say, pressing Enter, it becomes an active file. And now that's in my document well. Now, any time that you are just navigating code, it's going to show up in that preview. So if you go to definition, and there's actually ways to navigate just in that preview as well. So here's another little tip that's been in Visual Studio forever that I see hundreds and hundreds of developers don't know about. See this little guy, if I focus right up here? That's a split window. Watch what happens as I pull that down. You now have two active editors that you can do. So it's very easy now to see the top portion of the file and the bottom portion of the file. Now, a lot of people already knew that, but let's take it one step further with Window. There's this option here called New Window. And what that will do is actually open a second instance of the same file. So now I have placement.info 1 and 2. And so you can actually tear that off and dock it to, say, the left side of the screen. And now you have multiple, three active editors in the same file. The reason that that's helpful is when you get into a bigger file, like a JavaScript file, you've got something up here, something in the middle, something down here. And this is actually active based on the language. So you would not see this in an ASPX file. That functionality does not exist because the editor has the preview, the split view, the XAML files. This has been in C# for a while, but it is new in Visual Studio 2012 for Visual Basic.
Yep.
So the VB editor now happily supports that. One other thing I'd like to call attention to is that when you right-click on a tab, you have the ability to close all documents. You used to have close all but this, but now new in Visual Studio 2012, you actually have close all documents, which I used to use as Alt-W-L. So Alt-W brings up the Windows menu, and then L would close all. But now right from the tab itself, you have a close all documents.
Before we flip over, I do want to point out that a lot of the functionality that we just saw, it was a lot of 2012 functionality. And you're like, hey, guys, come on. That's not helpful to me today, right? I'm not using Visual Studio 2012 yet. But notice that on the legend here, a bunch of these are actually Visual Studio 2010 plus the Pro Power Tools. So a lot of that Solution Explorer functionality, there was an early look at that in the Pro Power Tools. And so if you want to get your hands on that and play with it and use it, install the Pro Power Tools if you're using VS 2010. You can get very similar functionality. All right, so still kind of sticking with this Visual Studio 2012 theme right now, I want to talk a bit about search. Search was a big theme that we went after in Visual Studio 2012, especially. Again, some of this is available in the Pro Power Tools as well. But if you look at the very top right of the Visual Studio, now there's this kind of unified place where you can just search Visual Studio for all the stuff you're kind of always looking for. So it says right there, it's called Quick Launch, and my keyboard shortcut is Control Q. So I'm going to press Control Q, and that just gives me focus to that. Wherever I'm at in Visual Studio, that gives me focus to that. And I can now search for whatever. I can find options pages. I can find menu items, commands, all sorts of things that'll show up in this list. This is actually also an extensibility point for Visual Studio. So if you've got something else that you want to be able to search from here, you can actually write an extension and have it show up inside. Now, as a tip for using this, you can type the @ key, and that will give you a way that you can filter down sort of the results you're looking for. So if I'm looking for, say, debugging, right? Well, if I search for debug, I'm going to find options, but I'm also going to find all the menus. If I just want the options, I can type, you know, @opt and get to those as well. One other thing about this is that it's designed to navigate quickly for you. So if it hasn't painted yet, you can still go there. So if I can actually try and make this work, where I just kind of go like team before I'm even selected the item, I hit enter, and it's already navigating to that tool window for me. Okay, so you can, if you're a fast typist, if you want to be productive, you can do that inside Quick Launch. Now, another piece of search in Visual Studio 2012, also part of the Pro Power Tools, is Solution Explorer now also offers search. So at the very top, you can see right here, Search Solution Explorer. The keyboard shortcut for that is Control Semicolon. So if I go Control Semicolon, I can search files and everything inside of here and filter that down and kind of see a filtered view that searches all the files within my solution. Likewise, there's also search on Team Explorer. So I'm not actually online right now. I'm not sure if anybody's online yet. If I press Control apostrophe, that brings up the Team Explorer. That actually is focusing a search box on Team Explorer that allows you to search work items. So if I was hooked up to DFS right now, I could automatically just start kind of searching work items there as well. Other places where we've added search or filtering in Visual Studio 2012, this was a big request, the error list. Okay, so if you've got, you know, a bunch of errors, if you know, you add some new component and all of a sudden there's just errors everywhere and you're trying to find the one error, to find the one place you're trying to go, and you're sitting there scrolling that list, now you can search for it, okay? Which is an added bonus. Also, on the toolbox, we've also added search here as well. Okay, so when you have all of the third-party controls, if you go and grab, you know, the Infragistics and DevExpress, and you have everything installed, that can be pretty daunting in the toolbox. So you can search that down very quickly by typing just the word you're looking for. One other important piece of search is in the new Add Reference dialog. We call it the Reference Manager. Notice that was up very quickly, right? Okay, so That's good. That's good. We've heard a lot of feedback over that over the years. There's also a search up at the very top right corner, and I can get to that with Control E. Okay, that's actually a keyboard shortcut used throughout, kind of kind of Windows as well. So if I'm in like, you know, the Windows Explorer, if I press Control E, that takes me to the search box in the top right corner. In Visual Studio, it works in several, in all of the modal dialogues, all the dialogues that come up that have a search box. Control E will take you there. So the reference manager will take me there. Also, the new project dialog, Control E will take me up to the search in the new project dialog as well. And then finally, there is search on find results windows, the find symbols results window. So we really try to take search and push it all over throughout Visual Studio. One other thing about this search is that you see this little arrow. Sometimes there are also little nuggets of behavior underneath that arrow that are very helpful. So, for example, if I don't want to search within the files, for example, in Solution Explorer, and I only want to search the files themselves, I can uncheck this box. Okay, so there is a lot of extra functionality, a lot of extra goodness. When you see that search bar, just drop it down there with the little arrow. All right?
Awesome. So just to reiterate, if you download the deck for this talk, all of the notes and everything that we just talked about are there. So this is just a little bit of recap of what we just talked about. So let's stick with Solution Explorer and talk about a few more items. So if I just zoom in a little bit here, you'll notice that on the C# file, you have another drop-down item. So we now give you the ability to drop into the file at specific points. So one of the nice things about Solution Explorer is you can filter it to get to a specific file, but then even more importantly, you can get to that exact part of the file. So as I zoom out here and double click on one of these items, naturally you'll see that file opens or navigates you to that specific element. The same thing works with preview mode. So if I click on an item here, auto route settings, you'll see that that file is then open, and then as you navigate down to specific elements, that part of the file is highlighted for you. So I kind of cheated a little bit earlier and showed you about Solution Explorer multiple instances. So I'm going to skip that. Remember, we talked about just right-click, and you can set a new Solution Explorer view. How many of you work with really large projects? I mean, any file that or any project that you've been working with for more than a couple months is going to tend to grow and grow and grow. And so your Solution Explorer looks like this. And so with the ability to search, that will help you quickly find things. But here's a new item in Visual Studio 2012 that gains a lot of applause, which is collapse all. And when I do that, it simply collapses all of my projects, so which now makes it easy to visually navigate to the project that I'm specifically looking for.
Finally.
So that's been available as a couple of different hacks and different ways to do that in the past, but now it's just baked right into the product. One other thing that I like about the new Solution Explorer is the ability to set a filter. Now, first I'm going to do this by keyboard shortcuts. The setup for this is you're in Visual Studio, you've been working for an hour, and now you have 16 or 17 files open. And you can navigate to them with this little drop-down arrow here, or you can actually Control-Tab to get through them. But here's something else that's nice now with Solution Explorer. Watch this. So if I'm in Solution Explorer, I can turn on what's called a filter, and it will filter to only show me open files. Now, there's a couple of different ways. The keyboard shortcut for that is Control Open Bracket O. And again, that's in the slide deck, so you'll have those notes. But Control Open Bracket O will turn on and off the filter. There's also a drop-down list here, which will say Filter Only Open Files. There's another one here, if you're dialed into TFS, that will filter files that are flagged for pending changes. So that basically gets rid of all of the Solution Explorer except what you have open in your document well. Again, making it very easy for you to quickly navigate and see the items that you are looking for. Now, there's another feature inside that's kind of buried inside Tools Options. And if you're on Tools Options and you head down to Solution Explorer,
actually, it's Project and Solutions.
I'm sorry, Projects and Solutions, thanks. There's an option right here that says Track Active Solution or Track Active Item in Solution Explorer. Out of the box, that's turned off, And I like to turn it on, which means that as I navigate through my Solution Explorer updates, it does tend to be slower on slower machines. So if you're on an older machine and you have that turned on, you'll actually see Solution Explorer will lag behind you 1 or 2 or 3 seconds. So some people turn that off, but there's actually a way to show the item in Solution Explorer from a keyboard shortcut. And the sync for that is also Control Square Bracket S for sync. And it's hard for me to demo that because I have the active sync turned on. But if I'm, say, for example, down here, and then over here I click, if I did Control Square Bracket S, that would find that item for me in Solution Explorer. So one other tip trick that I like to show right here is the ability to get to this file on disk. And you've probably felt this frustration. If you right-click on a folder, you can then navigate down to show this item in Windows Explorer. But that functionality is not available at the file level. So I want to go edit an XML file or a web config file or see a temporary file that's been done on disk. So for example, auto route settings. Where's this file on my hard drive? Watch this tip. Bam. It just opens and gets there. Now that's not built in out of the box. There's two things to note. First, the hidden navigate to open containing folder is on the document well tab. So you can get there from the mouse click, but you can see that I have bound a keyboard shortcut for that. Now, I tend to use the keyboard shortcuts of Control-Alt-Shift, because those are just kind of all together at the bottom left of my keyboard. Plus, they're not used by default out of the box with other Visual Studio commands, so I don't run into collisions. And then I can do O for open. And then, naturally, the way that I did that is on the keyboard selection there, I just did tool file.open containing folder, and then you just type in your keyboard shortcut and do a global assign. So that's helpful. I probably use that. I'm a full-time developer. Just like you guys, I'm living and breathing in Visual Studio all the time, and I probably use that 100 times a day. So Control-Alt-Shift-O just opens me right to Explorer to get into that system. So that is is that good? Do you guys like that? How many of you are going to add that? Control-Alt-Shift-O. All right. That's my legacy inside Studio. Someday I'll get that baked into the product.
Never.
Yeah. I have to convince him it's worth it. So again, there's the recap of items that we have talked about.
All right. So I want to talk, now I talked about search a little bit ago. I want to talk about navigation, specifically as we want to navigate to files, as we want to navigate intelligently through code. Now, I'm going to bring up some files here, and just randomly I'm just grabbing files. And I can move around in these files. And what you'll see is that as I move around in these files, and then I come up here to this simplified navigation piece, you're going to actually see, dropping down, here's the places where I've been. This is where I've been. And I can use this menu kind of to go back to some place where I've already been. Or I can use Control minus, and that will navigate between all of that. Control Shift minus goes in the other direction. Okay, so if I just want to, you know, get around the spots of my files, maybe I'm moving back and forth between two files, Control minus, Control Shift minus, just back and forth, and I can do my work. Now, another very important piece of Visual Studio, kind of a bread and butter shortcut, is F12. How many people use F12? Yeah, like the whole room. Go to definition. Enormously important, important shortcut. And what that does, obviously, is it goes to the definition of something. So if my caret is on an identifier and I want to see the definition of that, I press F12 and it takes me right there. Okay. Now, something that's not really well known is there's actually a stack here, a separate navigation stack for go to definition. So I can use the Control minus, Control Shift minus to navigate to the places where I've been. But in C#, if I'm doing a lot of go to definitions, and maybe I've gone off and done something else, and I'm like, oh yeah, what was that definition that I was at a little while ago? I can use Control Shift 7 and Control Shift 8 to go back specifically through my go to definitions, okay, that I've done recently. Another important piece of go to definition is that I can go to definition on literally anything, including things that aren't in my solution. right? And so if I press F sharp, or if I press F12 on bool, that takes me to bool, right? It's not really. It's a C sharp sort of like view of what this might look like if defined in code. It's gone to the metadata, the reference metadata, and it's kind of produced this sort of C sharp view of Boolean. And I can continue to do go to definition through here as well, going all the way back down to object. And again, my go to definition stack can take me back up through all of that. Now, notice also a very important thing here in Visual Studio 2012 is that my F12s are using the preview tab over to the right. Okay, so it's not opening new files. It's not polluting my document. Well, if I just want to, go off and see something really quick and then pop back, I no longer have, pollution in my document tab with that. So something else that's perhaps a little less well known is that there's actually a live go to definition that you can always have up if you want it. If you find you're doing F12 a lot, but you don't want to use, but you keep losing your context, you can press Control WD. To bring up the code definition window. The code definition window works, I think, in C# and C++. But this will, as I move my caret through code, it will show me the definition, update to show me the definition of that. It also will show metadata as source as well in within this window. So one thing I like to do, is, especially with the multi-monitors today, is I'll put this on another monitor. I'll dock it over there, and I'll have that up all the time. And I can always see, what's my caret on? Oh, that's what that is. That's what the members are. Right, and so I use this as an important tool for that. Now, the opposite of go to definition is shift F12, right? And that is bound to find all references. So F12 takes me to a definition. However, if I've given a definition, shift F12 will find me all the references to that. So I can press shift F12 and find that right here. Now, what's also, it's kind of like this Alt F6 sort of shortcut, one of these shortcuts that's really not very well known within Studio. And that is the fact that F8 will navigate windows like this that are lists of things in Visual Studio. F8 will navigate those. So let me actually pin that. And as I press F8, it'll navigate through. And
I particularly like that in the find window.
Yeah.
You have a whole list of results, F8, shift F8 goes backwards.
Notice that it's also using the preview tab. So as if I'm F8ing and navigating through and looking at each reference, it's using the preview tab, so it's not polluting my document well with things that I don't need to look at. So two more things I want to show. First is Navigate 2. This is available in Visual Studio 2010. The keyboard shortcut for this is Control Comma, and this gives me a kind of a smart symbol search across my solution. So I could search for, as I did before, Adam. It also shows me files. It shows me members. It shows me across languages. So if I have a multi-language solution, it'll show me. You'll just pull all the C++, VB, C# in here. This is very similar, also in scope, to the Solution Explorer search that's available in VS 2012, but it's something that's also available in VS 2010. And the last shortcut, this has been around forever. Scott kind of showed it here a little bit ago with this little menu. This menu is awesome, but it's like I got to grab the mouse to use it, right? And that kind of stinks. So I never use it, or I never used it until I learned the shortcut, which is Control Alt Down. Pop brings that up. Okay,
yeah.
And now I can just type the first letter. Press Enter and go there. So I can totally navigate through my open documents by pressing Control Alt Down, drop the menu down, type the first letter of a file, and press Enter to go there. So this is just more of a recap. Notice that in this portion, most of these are available pretty early. I think only one of them is 2010 only. Or 2010 and up, but the rest of these have been available for years. So you guys should be able to take these, put them in your toolbox, and really get productive with them.
So one little funny side note on that Control Alt Down. I mean, if you think of what's happening with all these keyboard shortcuts, you're using the keyboard and you're expecting Visual Studio to respond to them. If I do Control Alt Down on my machine, somehow that's bound to my video driver, and it turns my display upside down.
That's ridiculous. So, why would you bind a shortcut to that? That is so ridiculous.
If you're in a conference room a lot, and one's upside down and one's not, it's perfect. Okay. So all my code fits on one screen. Oh, let's zip back. There
yep.
You go. All my code fits on one screen. Do you like it? How many of you see presentations like this where this guy's apparently... So there's two things I want to show you real quick if you want to adjust your font size. And this is great for your neighbor if you're looking across the room and they say, hey, could you help me look at something? Instead of going over to their desk, they could just make it bigger for you, right? So control zoom with your mouse, which is what I'm doing here, just kind of control up and down will work with the editor. It's only one window at a time, so I haven't changed the font size here, only the active window. And the keyboard shortcut for that is going to be control shift comma or control shift less than, which is a good visual indicator in my mind to remember that that gets smaller. And then, of course, greater than gets larger. So if you'd like to change the font size there, you can do that either with the mouse or your keyboard. Another thing that's been built into Visual Studio for a long time is called multi-line editing. And I find myself using this a lot in XML. So watch what happens on the screen. Let's change these to ads. Woohoo! How many of you knew I could do that? So about a third of you, and for the rest of you that's new, Control Z is going to work. From the keyboard, what you want to do is use the shift key with your arrows back and forth. That's what you've always done. If you also introduce the alt key, you can go up and down and do a column select. And this puts your keyboard into a multi-line edit mode. And now as I start typing, you can actually see if I zoom in here, there's a very faint blue line that's showing you your insertion point. And so as I go backwards or as I type, you can see that. You can also, with your mouse, introduce the alt key on a drag and drop and just put in an insert point. So if I needed to change those four attributes to first name, then you know, multi-line insert is a very nice thing to do. And that's really been in Visual Studio forever, but I always like to show that because it's something that not a lot of people know about. Now, one thing we've done in Visual Studio 2012 is we've enhanced the Find dialog box. Mainly what we've done is we've left all the functionality there, but we've gotten it out of your way. So now when you do Control F, take a look at the top right-hand corner of the screen. That's my Find dialog. And as I search for something like section, you'll see that it highlights it right on the screen. And now F3 and Shift F3 and the basic search keyboard commands that you've always known and loved continue to work. But now that Find dialog box is no longer hiding what you're looking for, right? A lot of times that would come into focus, but that dialog would be docked on top. And then you could pin it to the side or something, but now it's a lot more out of the way. We also have something called Control-I. Control-I is called incremental search, and that will search as you type. So notice that my keyboard or my cursor has changed to a binoculars with a down arrow. If I type pages, P-A-G, oops, I got to set focus in this window. P-A-G-E-S, as I'm typing, it is finding that item, and it's actually setting focus to the first item that's found. Now you can do F3 and Shift F3, and it will, oh, should sign out there. And then you can continue to navigate. There's one more thing I like to throw in with Find, and that is Control F3. This is a little nugget that's been in Visual Studio forever, but it says find the next instance of what your cursor is currently on. So a lot of people do Control F, and then you know how Visual Studio brings that item forward for you, and then you press Enter? If you do Control F3, for example, here on the word remove, if I press Control F3, it just immediately takes me to that next item. So Control F3 is auto-find the next item that you're looking for. The last thing that I want to show is something called a clipboard ring. This is another thing that's been in Visual Studio forever, and it's bitten us a lot. So watch what's going to happen here. I'm going to press Control-C on the word system, and then Control-C on the word type, and Control-C on the word on this line, razor. Now, if I just delete everything, as I paste Control-V, you'll obviously get the first item that's on the top of your stack. But watch what happens if I do Control-Shift-V. You can cycle through the last 25 items of your clipboard ring. And Visual Studio has always had this. As a matter of fact, way back in Visual Studio 2003, there used to be a tool window that showed you the last 25 items on your clipboard ring. And since then, it's been removed from the product. Is anybody still using Visual Studio 2003? All right.
Thank goodness.
We have arrived.
Finally.
How about interdev? Anybody interdev? Oh, now you can tell how old I am. But Control-Shift-V will cycle through the clipboard ring and will show you the last several items there. And again, we have that information that's on the slide deck for you. But hopefully there's some good tips and tricks that will bring you into some faster keyboard shortcuts.
All right. So I want to talk a little bit about, we've been talking about search navigation, getting around Visual Studio, really dealing with everything except writing code, right? And so what I want to talk about right now are a couple of tips and tricks when you're actually doing the act of writing code, which a lot of us do all the time. So first of all, in Visual Studio 2010, we took a lot of time with IntelliSense to add some new features, such as filtering. So if I'm typing in the list, I'm going to see... let me actually bring up console here. If I'm typing in the list, you'll see that it actually filters down for me. Now, that's a smart filter, meaning that it actually does some word splitting on the identifiers for me. So if I type, line, I'll get both read line and write line. Okay? But it's not just a blanket text search, right? If I type DLI, I would not get read line. It's really just, it's splitting those words, and so it's kind of, so if you can remember what was a word in that identifier, I can get to it very quickly with an IntelliSense now. Now another piece of IntelliSense that's new in Visual Studio 2012 comes really because of a pain point with the way that IntelliSense is designed. That's sort of a mismatch with styles of development like test-driven development, where I am writing code that uses my APIs before I go and define the APIs. How many people do that? Where you actually write your code and how it's going to work, and then you go off and you define your classes and members to actually implement that. In those cases, IntelliSense works against you a lot because IntelliSense is designed to work with things that are already defined. Right? It's going to show you things that are already defined. Now, the canonical example of this is, suppose I have a test fixture called something like customer tests down here. And then I want to do my first test, and so I come down, I create a new method, and I say, okay, so I'm going to do this in this consume first sort of approach to development. I'm going to declare my new customer, and I press space, and of course it completes customer tests, right? So it's like, ugh. And now truthfully, I could hit undo, and IntelliSense is smart enough to give you, when you press undo, control Z, it gives you what you would have typed had IntelliSense not committed. So it actually has the space in there. But it was still very, very painful. It's very painful to sit there and undo all the time. And so we added a mode to IntelliSense for Visual Studio 2010 called Consume First Mode. And so if I'm bringing up IntelliSense and I'm in this mode of completion, and I just don't want to kind of get the cost of having to hit undo, I can press Control-Alt-Space. And what that does to IntelliSense is it changes what keys will commit the item, selected item in IntelliSense. So the items will still appear there. Everything will still appear in IntelliSense, but I'm not actually committing it if I press like some of the regular keys, like space, for example. It won't commit the list. In fact, the only thing that will commit the list is tab. All right, so I can still use IntelliSense, and I can still complete from IntelliSense, but I have to use the tab key. That's Control-Alt-Space to get into and out of that mode. It's actually up on the toolbar right here as well. This shows whether the mode is active, where suggestion mode, we call it suggestion mode, is active or not. And then finally, kind of along the same vein of being able to do this consume-first style of development, is that we now in C# at least will add items to the list, in this case, after new, that are previously don't exist yet. Okay, so customer isn't defined anywhere, but it appears in the list to help me out. Now, along with this theme in Visual Studio 2010 of consume first development, we introduced a new feature called Generate from Usage, and that allows me to, given some piece of code, actually generate boilerplate to implement that, or give me a basic implementation of it. We had a feature in Visual Studio 2005 for C# called Generate Method Stub. And that was kind of taking that feature and really just ballooning it, expanding it to do all sorts of types and members properties, everything you need to do. So you see right now there are error squiggles in the editor because I haven't defined this anywhere yet. And there's a smart tag, that little blue, we call it the tickler, okay, internally, smart tag tickler, that appears there. That means, hey, I can grab my mouse and I can go and I can get my smart tag. And of course now I've totally wasted, valuable time in my programming because I've grabbed the mouse. And so the most important shortcut that I might give you today, if you are working with... Is that real or is that another talk? That's another talk. Okay.
I feel like we need some audio tricks.
Yeah, I feel...
Someone's, okay, game development. We're next door to game development.
That's great, that's great. All right, so the most important shortcut, I was going to tell you the most important shortcut, but then I was like, nope, sorry, alarm, got to go, is actually control dot. Control dot will always bring up the smart tag that's underneath your identifier. So if I press control and then a period or the dot key, that brings that up for me. Okay, I can use generate from usage to then generate just a class for that. And see, now that everything, the squiggles go away, the type colorizes, that's because I've actually declared a class called customer and it's been added to my project. I can go to that, I can F12, I can see that right there. I can do more things with this. I could go ahead and say, I could say like the name is like Dustin. And again, I've got a smart tag telling me to go ahead and generate a property stub. And it's smart enough to figure out that the property should be of type string. Okay, so this is features in Visual Studio 2010 that if you really do this sort of consume-first development, it's invaluable. So that's with the smart tag, that's control dot. Another thing that appears on the smart tag quite a bit is when I go to a definition and I just start typing and changing the name of it. So, if I just change the name, you see a little red smart tag appear. If I press control dot here, it gives me the opportunity to go ahead and rename this. Okay, and it will do a smart rename throughout my project, or throughout my solution, rather. Other places where these appear. If I'm typing a type name and I don't have a using yet, I can press control dot and get using system, right? Or I can fully qualify that name. So this is kind of examples of features that's been available in Visual Basic for a long time, since Visual Studio 2005. Visual Basic has a very rich set of squiggles and smart tags for doing various error corrections. We've added a bunch to C#, but if you're a Visual Basic developer, and I know there's a few of you in here, for example, if I do something that's syntactically invalid, so here I've created a property, I'm using code snippets, which means I've pressed tab to go ahead and insert a code snippet for property. If I've got a property like this, and I come in and do something like, maybe just make it completely invalid, say, well, this is a write-only property. Actually, let's go ahead and say it's read-only, because this gives me two of them. So now, if it's a read-only property, I can't have a setter, and so if I press control dot, then Visual Basic will give me two options. I can either remove the read-only modifier, or I can remove the setter, and it gives me a little preview. So this has been available since Visual Studio 2005 for Visual Basic, but your keyboard shortcut, control dot, that is the most important. A couple of things about snippets. I just inserted a snippet by pressing tab. So if I type just a kind of a well-known identifier, each snippet has a name. If I type that name in the editor and then press tab, it will expand the snippet, giving me fields that I can tab through and update. So like with the property here, we saw that I could come in and I can just change this, and then you see that it updates the rest of the references. Some things about snippets that are kind of interesting. The first one is control KX will actually bring up a little UI that allows me to do a bunch of snippet insertion. So Visual Basic has tons of snippets available. C# has a bunch as well. But if I want, I can tab through this, find all sorts of different kind of coding constructs and things like that in this UI. I can learn what the names of those are and eventually and press tab to insert them as well. And finally, the very last thing I want to show, I'm going to do this in C#, is the opposite of the add using that I did a little bit ago. In C#, Visual Studio 2008, we introduced a feature called organize usings, which allows me to remove unused usings and sort usings, or remove and sort. Okay, this is available from the context menu. If you want, you could find the command and bind a shortcut to it, like I'm sure Scott has done. But I can remove and sort, and that'll remove using system because I no longer have any identifiers in the file that are actually in that namespace. All right? So those are a few of kind of the code, writing codes sorts of tips. So again, things on IntelliSense, smart tags, control dot, that is absolutely key. And then finally, the code snippets. Now, control KX is kind of your friend here. All right?
So what do you guys think? Is this good? Is this what you came for? So a lot of thumbs up there? Okay, great.
Cool,
so,
cool.
It's my opinion that we are not developers Instead, we are debuggers, right? No one writes perfect code, and if you write perfect code, it's only one line. Like, you're going to have to debug at some point, right? And another thing about debugging is it's a great way to learn something new. One of the things that I like to do when we get a new project is to just open it up and set a breakpoint and then, you know, hit run and just step through code. It's a great learning experience, particularly on something more advanced. If you're stepping into Lambda expressions, or if you're learning JavaScript, or there's a new library that you want to work with, the way that Visual Studio lets us walk through the symbols is a great learning experience. So I want to spend a couple of minutes here on debugging tips and tricks. You'll notice that I have three breakpoints that I already have set. You should know the basic keyboard shortcuts for debugging. If you don't know the basic keyboard shortcuts for debugging, everyone on your team will be mad at you, or they should be mad at you. How many of you, you're like, step, what, in, out, over, and back? You need to know the keyboard shortcuts. So there's three of them right off the bat. F9, F10, F11. F9, set a breakpoint. F10, run to the next breakpoint. And F11, step in. Okay, then it gets more advanced. And all this is in the slides and it also in the tooltips. If F11 is step in, then you need to know that shift F11 is step out, right? And then there's F10 and then there's F9. F9 is set a breakpoint. Shift F9 is what? Naturally, remove a breakpoint. What if there's three breakpoints? Control shift F9 will remove all the breakpoints. But there's a little gotcha here. There's a dialogue that says, are you sure you want to remove all the breakpoints? Well, Control-Shift-F9 is pretty out of the ordinary. If I just press that in my head, I don't like this dialogue. So if you look at Tools Options under Debugging, there is a way. The very first option here is to ask before deleting breakpoints. Visual Studio installed out of the box has that turned on. I turn it off. So if you uncheck that and then say OK, as you have multiple breakpoints set throughout the screen, Control-Shift-F9 will get rid of all of them for you at once. So here's a quiz for you. I want to execute to line 17. I've written some code, and I want to get to that line. Everyone in here will do it the wrong way, right? How do you do that? You do F9, then F5, right? So you do F9 to set a breakpoint, F5, run to that breakpoint. I'm going to show you another way. So watch what happens on the screen. Notice my cursor's on line 17. Are you ready? Without touching anything, I say execute and stop here. It's called run to cursor. And it actually works if you're already debugging or if you have not started a new debugging session yet. Run to cursor is Control F10. And so if I come down here, for example, and I just put my cursor on line 32, I can say press Control F10, and it just runs to cursor, assuming there's not a breakpoint in the middle, right? Breakpoint in the middle will hit, and your execution points will stop there as well. If you have Visual Studio Ultimate installed, you may have seen in Visual Studio 2010 this new guy called IntelliTrace. IntelliTrace is amazing, and we don't have enough time to go into it here, but essentially it's the history of your application at the state for every breakpoint and every event that has happened. And the event is, there's literally thousands of them, and these are triggers that you can turn on to collect analytics on your app. It's a great way for you to basically go back in time. So if I double click this item here, I can actually open the locals window, and now you can see that at that breakpoint, the value of all my arguments, and I mean, it's basically a snapshot of everything you know and love about debugging. And you can spend days inside IntelliTrace, but I'd like to just give a shout out there. So here's something else that I use, I'm not exaggerating, hundreds of times a day. And instead of step in, step out, step in, step out to try to get to the execution point, take a look at line 17. I'm just going to Control F10 to bring my, let's just start a new clean state, Control F10. Runs to, oh, did I get a typo in here? Control Z, maybe. Oh, there it is. Yep. So run to line 17. Control F10. So now I'm at a breakpoint, and I've got some kind of silly code here. But you'll notice call one and call two are just methods that I have on the screen. They return E. It's not really meant for the code there, other than to get a stack. So I want to get into a specific method, and most of you would do this. F11 to step in. Oh, I'm on call one. I don't need that. Shift F11 to step back. F11 to step in. That's where I want to be at call two. Watch this. Let me do shift F11 to step back, and I'm just going to run around this code line one more time, F10 to get to the next line. Now watch this. Alt F11. Whoops.
Not that one.
It's... Shift Alt F11 gives me a menu of which step point I want to step into. So most of you have methods that you're calling into, and instead of just passing direct method or direct parameters to that method, you may pass the result of another method. And typically, if you're in a lambda expression, I mean, this could get really complicated.
Properties, yeah.
Properties, setters, getters. There's all kinds of things. So. Alt-Shift F11 will give you a menu point. It's called Step Into Specific. And so then instead of just going to call one back, call two, I can just click call two. It'll execute to that point. What do you think? Cool? Did anybody know that already? All right. So everybody here learned at least one thing so far. That's awesome. There's one more thing that I want to show about breakpoints. So I'll go ahead and press F9 here. And F9 breakpoint is kind of like the first thing you learn as a developer. But let's say that you're inside a loop here that's counting to 100, and your bug doesn't start until the value is greater than 90. You're like, da 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 da. You've done this with JavaScript alerts also, right? You're like, da 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 da. So there's ways that you can control that. If you come over here and you right-click on the breakpoint, you can actually set a condition. And your condition is something like I is greater than 90. And when I say OK, F5, watch the value of I right now is 11. It'll actually execute, and it will only breakpoint when your condition is true. Like? It's good? Lots of nods? OK, good. So another thing that you can do is instead of breaking, you can just write yourself a message. One of the things that breakpoints will hinder you in the future is in async development, because you've got multiple threads happening all over the place, and when this thread stops, something else may have kept going. So instead of breaking the console, you can actually write yourself a message. So what I'm going to do again is come back over to my breakpoint and right-click on it, and I've taken my condition away, which is good, and then I'll right-click again and change, set up the when hit item. And when hit is going to bring up a dialogue that will ask if you want to print a message. And so I'm going to print myself a message, and I'm going to use this kind of funky syntax here that just gives me the example. And I'm just going to say the value of I is curly bracket I curly bracket, and then continue execution. Now, when I dismiss this dialogue, what I want you to do is watch this circle over here. That red circle is what we all know as a breakpoint. You'll notice that it just changed to a diamond. And a diamond is actually called a trace point. Breakpoint trace points are identical except one continues execution. And that's going to get written to my output console. So Control-Alt-O will bring up my output console down here. And as I press F5 to run, it actually went too fast, and there's nothing for my execution stopped. So
you're
if I come back to my output window, you'll see that my values of I is 92, 93, 94, 95. So instead of setting a breakpoint, maybe I just want to write myself a little message, and that trace point comes up to be very handy. So again, if we kind of switch back to the slide deck, you'll see that I've got all of those tips and tricks listed for you. And with that, we'll kind of crank out to the next session, extending Visual Studio.
So Visual Studio is massively extensible. Okay, it can be extended in anyway, including, you know, adding whole new languages and debugging engines and all those very, very advanced things. But really, you know, until Visual Studio 2010, there's not been a really great way to get that functionality, all those extensions that people have created all together. And so off the Tools menu, this is also, like I said, this is in Visual Studio 2010. And I believe, let me just double check, we have internet now. Woo-hoo. So, yay. So I can go online and look at the Visual Studio Gallery, and that'll give me a list of available extensions that I can download and install. And there's super cool things in here that do things like create indent guides for, you know, showing lines between my curly braces and C-sharp and things like that. Also, the Pro Power Tools, as I keep plugging that, those are also available here as well. Whoops, not in that one. Power. I think is where those appear. So, so you'll find all sorts of really great extensions available here. But another way that you can use extensions within Visual Studio isn't installing into Visual Studio itself so much, but it's installing functionality, maybe libraries and frameworks into your projects itself. How many people use NuGet? Great. For those of you that aren't using NuGet, it is awesome. The way I use this in Visual Studio. Right-click on References, Manage NuGet Packages. And again, I'm given a dialog that is very much the same dialog as the extensions, the extension dialog. And again, I can search online. Now, remember I said that this was that all modal dialogs had a specific shortcut to get up to the search dialog. Does anybody remember what that was? Control-E, exactly. Perfect. So Control-E will take me up here so I can search. Now, I work on a project called Roslyn that is a project for doing where we're rebuilding the Visual Basic and C-sharp compilers and managed code. And so I can go here and I can look for Roslyn, and I can just install Roslyn right away, just grabbing these off the internet, installing them into my project. I can go ahead and accept the license for these. And so what it's doing right now, it's pulling them down, it's adding references to my project, and then this can carry over, there's a little packages file that defines what NuGet packages are available in this project, so other people can also grab them using NuGet. And so now I have the entire API available to me. So if I come in here and say something like syntax tree, now I've got add using for that, and I can do Roslyn stuff. I can go off and do my cool little Roslyn extension if I want to. I could parse code. Do whatever. Cool. Couple of other, you know, like I said, the Pro Power Tools are also available there. Power commands I use quite a bit, though I use less in Visual Studio 2012 because some of the functionality that I want is in Visual Studio 2012, like collapse projects. That's in 2012. I'll use power commands to get that for 2010.
So all that stuff's been baked in now.
Yeah, some of that stuff has been baked in. One other thing is that if you do run into problems with extensions, or if you find you use a lot of extensions and you just want to get a fresh, clean Visual Studio just up without any extensions loaded, you can run from the command line. You can run the Visual Studio from the Visual Studio command prompt. You can run devenv, which is the Visual Studio actual executable name, / safe mode. And so if you're finding you've got some extensions that are maybe conflicting or something like that, you can very easily get into an instance of Visual Studio that doesn't have them loaded at all. So this is just as more of a recap of some of the extensibility, but there's a lot of really great stuff out there, and you should definitely go and try and play with it.
Awesome.
All right.
So I want to spend just a minute and give a shout out to something that's called a layer diagram. This is a not new in Visual Studio 2012, but has really changed the way that we handle check-ins and source control. So as a developer, one of the first things you learn is an accessibility modifier. And that's public, private, protected, friend, et cetera. And those accessibility modifiers are code contracts that the compiler understands that says, I have this visibility, right? And then public, obviously, is everything everywhere, internal, protected, blah, blah, blah. You guys all know that. But sometimes you run into a problem when you have to do something. You have to open up an accessibility modifier, and the compiler will compile your code appropriately. But you want to add rules so that developers in your organization only know that code talks one way, like maybe a database can only be used through one library. And so what I wanted to do here is just show real quick from the architectural menu, you can do a new diagram. And with a layer diagram, all you do is drag over either classes or, in this case, I have entire projects. And by namespace, you can then set rules, and then you can validate that architecture. So what I'm validating here is some very simple code that just says calls can go one way from class 2 to class 1. Now, what I'll do here is just delete this and then set up a new dependency, but I'll set it up the other way. And then I will validate the architecture, and you'll see that I get some errors there that says, hey, you've got code that goes the wrong way. Now, the reason that I'm showing you this is because if you have other developers on your team, you can actually enforce these layer diagram rules with something called a gated check-in. So code may compile for you, but you can't commit it to the main tree unless this layer diagram passes. And it's just one of those things that a lot of people don't know about. If you have the ultimate version of Visual Studio where these architecture diagrams live, it's amazingly powerful. Also, F12, go to definition, works on these screens. So the same way that you'd want to navigate in and out of code from your other diagramming features kind of works here as well. So I'm going to jump back to the PowerPoint and just show you our last slide here before we go. I know we're the only thing that's separating you between lunch and the rest of your day. So let's get the diagramming stuff up. And then the next slide here is just something I wanted to end with called Scott's Favorites. So we have something called open containing folder, I already showed you. Attach to process, Control-Alt-P, that's baked in, which will let you attach to a debugger. There's another keyboard shortcut here for go to brace. I use this all the time, which will go to the sibling bracket like in JavaScript. If you're on a brace, control brace will take you up to its sibling, its parent. You can use that with the shift key to select that main group of text. And then finally, you can also scroll the editor. So if you're back in a class file, you can actually hold the control key down, control up and down. With the arrows, you can scan. If you do a wheel mouse, it zooms the font, but control up and down will zoom that font in. So the last thing in closing is going to be this idea of temporary projects. And I already have it turned on, but I'll show you that inside the projects and solutions,
top.
There you go. There's an item here that says save new projects when created. Now, Visual Studio out of the box has this checked. I have mine turned off, and what that means is that when I do a new project, file, new project.
Control-Shift-N.
Look at me, keyboard junkie, not doing that. So all of us have this concept of what I call throwaway code. We've got a console application that we want to just do some quick code, maybe 20, 30 lines to prototype something. But the problem is that litters your hard drive. Look what's missing here. All I have is the name of my project. And I'll actually show you how this works. If I click OK, I'm going to set up a brand new temporary project. And all of this is going to compile and work out of the temporary file system way down deep in your hard drive that you don't care about. And when Visual Studio closes, it will ask if you want to save this or discard it. If you save it, then it'll move that whole project for you. In fact, if I do a Control-Alt-Shift-O, that keyboard shortcut that I showed you earlier, it will take me into, it's actually disabled here.
Yep.
I thought I could get to that. But if you then try to abandon your project after you've done some code, now you get the second half of that dialogue that you had originally turned off, which will ask, hey, where do you want to save this? The only limitation here is it doesn't work with other systems that need access to your disk. Like this will not work with an ASP.NET website. There's no such thing as a temporary project there because you have IIS and some other things that need to have access to those files. You also can't add more than one project. So it really is a temporary solution. It's for some throwaway code. But if you're like me and you open your machine and you're at console application 142, then you just have all that code littered in one place. You can turn that off with temporary projects. So with that, we definitely would like to thank you for your time. We know that there's a lot of things to choose from at TechEd. Was this valuable to you? Yes? All right. Good. So Dustin and I have spent a lot of time on the talk, and we would really appreciate it if you could remember it's Dev 319, And I have intentionally ended 2 minutes early so you guys can get to lunch. But please fill out your evaluations. Thank you.